In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the third and fourth Mishnah on the first Perek of Masechta Tamid. And we continue learning about the order of the day. So Mishnah begins, Natala Tamafteach, so the Mamuneh, this is the individual who is in charge of overseeing what was happening in the morning, he would take them Etamafteach, he would take these keys from the Ziknei Beit Av, the elders of the Beit Av that were serving that day, in whose hands the keys of the Azariah were trusted. So if you recall, at this point, they are standing in the Beit HaMoked. The Memuneh has entered the Beit HaMoked. He's performed the lottery to see who would perform the Trumat HaDeshen, of which we'll learn about today. And it was now time for them to enter the Azariah. So then he would take the keys, or patachata pishpesh, he would open up a small door that was in the shahr and the gate of the Beit HaMoked, v'nichnas mi Beit HaMoked la'Azariah, and now he's entering the temple courtyard, the Azariah. V'nichnas acharav, and following him would come the Kohanim, u'shtev kotshel or be'adam, and they would hold in their hands two torches. Why? And the Mishnah explains, because v'nechnechu l'shtei kritot, they would be split up into two different groups. That is because before doing anything, it was time for the morning inspection of the Azariah. Eilu holchim ba'ach sadra derech mizrach, ve'eilu holchim ba'ach sadra derech ma'arav. Some would turn to the left, which is towards the mizrach, and some would turn to the right and go to ma'arav. And they would then go along the achsadra, which is going on the perimeter of the Azariah, under the porch or the colonnade that was there. And the purpose of this was, as they go around the Azariah, was to ensure that all the kli shahr were in their required locations. They would check until they would meet at the location of the osei chavetin, the chamber in which they would prepare the chavetim, which is the mincha offering the Kohen Gadol would bring every day. Now, where is this located? This is located to the south of the Shaar Nicanor. Now, Shaar Nicanor is a major entrance or gate toward, as one would enter to go into the Azariah. So, it would be very useful if you had the if you had Kati's map at your disposal. I think it's an incredible app. However, if not, I think I'll try another approach. When I used to give the shiur in a shul, I would actually use the shul as almost like a model of the Azariah, because they align quite well, and that's not by chance either. So, if you imagine the entrance at the back of the shul is pretty much like the Shaar Nicanor. So to the left of that door, if you enter, that is where the Lishkat Osei Chavitin was. So again, if we're using this model, that means the Kohanim would enter from, if you're standing at the back of the shul at the door, then they entered from a door on the right side of the shul, in the middle on the right side of the shul, and then walked the perimeter around. Why am I using this as a model? Yeah, that is because where the bima is pretty much like where is a good estimate of like where the what we can use to appreciate where the Mizbeach was, in the center of the Azariah, behind which, let's say in normal shuls is where the Aron HaKodesh is, that is where if you like, the entrance was to the Ulam, the hall that preceded the Heichal, which was a Kodesh and a Kodesh Kodeshim. So that's a model we're going to use if you use it that way. So Mishnah then explains, Hegiu Elu Ve'elu, once would meet at this Lishchat Osei Chavitin, Amru, that say Shalom HaKol Shalom, everything appears to be in order. And at that point, Hemidu Osei Chavitim Lasot Chavitim, they would allocate or set aside the individuals that were meant to go into the Lishchat Chavitim to start warming the water to prepare the Mincha Chavitim, they would do so. That's the Mishnah Daled. Mishizachali Tromet HaMizbeach. The person who the lottery fell upon to perform the Trumat HaDeshen, who Yitromet HaMizbeach, was time for him to go now to perform the Trumat HaDeshen. The Hem, and they would say to him, or some say it was a Konim, or some say it was actually the Rosh Beit Av himself, they would say to him, Hizahar, be very careful, Shema Tigaba Kli, in case you touch the Machta, which is the shovel that he would use to scoop up these ashes, and make sure you do not touch it, until you wash your yadecha v'raglecha minakir, until you wash your hands and feet from the basin. And it's very important because no avoda can be performed without the kohanim first washing their hands and feet. Now, why would they have to tell him? Well, that is because he's going on his own. And importantly, as we'll see very soon in the Mishnah, they wouldn't be able to see him from their point. If you recall, they are now standing, as we explained, pretty much at the back of the shul. The Mizbeach itself was a massive structure. 9 amot from the ground. That's about 4.5 meters tall. And there was a massive ramp as well to get there. At its base was about 30 amot. We'll learn about all the dimensions in detail in Masechet Midot. So, and where was the basin, and where was the shovel in which he was going to collect? It was on the other side of the ramp from where they were standing, so they could not see him. So it was very important for them to tell him, especially in his excitement to go perform the Avodah, to remind him right now, make sure you wash your hands and feet first. And this shovel that I just mentioned, Natuna b'miktsoa, was in the corner, bein between the kevesh and the mizbeach. So as you explained, the kevesh is the ramp is toward the south side of Mizbeach. But Ma'aravosh al kevesh is on the west side, as I said, the opposite side from where the other Kohanim were standing. And Ein Adam Nichnasim, no one could go there along with him. He had to go on his own. Now, why is that very important? That's important because one's not allowed to walk in that space between the Mizbeach and the Ulam unless they're performing Avodah. So therefore, no one could accompany him because there was no other Avodah that could be performed prior to him to doing this Trumat Hadeshen. He wasn't carrying a candle either. He would go according to the Or HaMaracha. The fires on top of the Mizbeach would provide him sufficient light. They couldn't see him, as we've already explained. And they couldn't hear his sound either. Until they could hear the sound of the wood banging, as we'll hear in a moment, that was related to this mechanism, or the pulley system, that Ben Katin built for this kior. Now, what's this referring to? As we explained, the kior is a basin that was full of water from which they washed their hands and feet. And importantly, however, if the water was left in that overnight, it would be possibly invalid, having due to the problem of the lina being left overnight. So the solution is, well, you can't just fill it up with buckets in the morning. What the Ben Katin worked out is there is a stream that runs under the Azara, and he built this whole incredible mechanism to lower the kior under the Azara and overnight, so it was in that stream, and then it could raise it up in the morning, it would be full, ready to go, and no issues of lina. And if the basin was quite large and full of water, so you can imagine the amount of weight it was, so therefore it was an incredible mechanism, and if it's made of wood, there's going to be a lot of banging and clanking together as it's being raised. So that's what the Kohanim could hear. V'hen amru, and they would say, Higio et, the time has approached, or the time has arrived. Or simply, Higia, he himself has hit that location. Then the Torem, he would kidesh yadav raglav, minakiori, wash his hands and feet. Natal machtat hakesef, he take the shovel which was made of silver. Valal rosh mizbeach, and go to the top of the mizbeach. Upinate gechalim heilach vehelach, he would move the coals aside so that he could shovel min ha'me'ukalot ha'panimit, for the most consumed coals at its base, or in the middle, I should say. V'yarad, he would go down from the ramp now. He'd reach the floor of the Azara, so they could see him coming down the ramp. Hafach panav latzafon, and he would do an about face. Not to go back up the ramp, but he would turn to his left and do an about face, so that now he is halach lemizracho shel kevesh, so he's walking alongside the kevesh, but the eastern side, the side where the kohanim could see him now. Ke'eser, about 10 amot, that's a distance he would walk, which is about a third of the way back to the actual base of the Mizbeach itself. Then tzabarta gechalim al ritzba, he would pile these coals on the floor at the location which is referred to as the Beit HaDeshen, rachok min ha-kevesh shlosha tfachim, which was three tfachim away, meaning towards the east of the kevesh, and that would also be the case, makom, that would be the location shnotim mur'ot ha'of. That's where they used to, this takes us back to Masechta Zvachim, that's where, if you remember, with the olat ha'of, that the Kohen would, before placing it all on the fire, this bird offering, they would remove the crop, and from the top of the Mizbeach, he would throw it, again, quite a feet. Remember, the floor distance is about 10 meters. So that was, again, because of about 20 amot. From the top of the Mizbeach, he's 9 amot high off the Mizbeach, and he would throw at that distance to that location, this Beit Hadeshen. Also, the place there, Mishnah would say, it would also be Vidishon Mizbeach HaPnimi VaHamnorah. Also, the ashes from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that was the golden altar on which the incense was burnt, and also the ashes from the menorah were also placed in that location. And with that, we have finished the first order of the day, which is the Trumat HaDeshen. Those are Mishnah today.